All right, we're going to bring in one of our good friends. He's a senior writer for MLB.com, and that is Barry Bloom. Barry, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. So, first of all, you and I have talked this season about the New York Mets, and we go back to May talking about the Mets, and Bill Madden of the New York Daily News talked to us as well. The Mets now have a five-game lead. Cespedes goes nuts with three home runs. What's your evaluation right now of the New York Mets? How strong are they?
Very dangerous. Really, the only problem they're seeing right now is they've got pitch limits and inning limits on their young pitchers, and they're trying to spot them around now. You said that they took Harvey out of the start this weekend to give him some rest and keep him in line. You know, basically, Terry Collins said a few weeks ago that if these guys are fatigued, they're not going to pitch in the playoffs, which would put them in an awkward situation, considering if you start the playoffs in a five-game series with Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Harvey, that's awfully intimidating, I think, going into the playoffs for the entire, even jumping off into the next rounds. So, you know, I was there the week of the craziness where, you know, Mejia went on was suspended for doing drugs during his suspension. Then the next day they tried to get Carlos Gomez from Milwaukee, and that fell apart. And, you know, Flores thought he was traded in the middle of the game, and he had the crying and all that stuff, and he became a folk hero. And then the next day they get Cespedes, and the whole thing just basically turns around. And you know how I feel about Cespedes. I mean, the A's were 100 games over 500 with Cespedes, and their score is under 500 since he's been gone. So, I mean, I thought that was a deal maker. It gave them the guy in the middle of the lineup that they just didn't have. It makes, you know, Duda and Murphy and everybody else that much better. And you've got the pending return of David Wright with no pressure on him to have to carry the lineup the way he used to, coming back from the spinal stenosis that's kept him out all season. So I think they're in great shape. Probably their Achilles is their bullpen. But, you know, that's the way it is with most teams at this point.
Boy, Barry Bloom with us. You know, your colleagues on MLB, I watch the MLB Network a lot during the week. And they're trying to make a case, and maybe so, Ken Rosenthal did all week long, for the Nationals. This easy schedule they've got to play ahead of them. We saw the Nationals out here. Their starting pitching got whacked around out here pretty well. They just didn't play good baseball out here. How do you see the Nationals? Do you see them taking advantage of maybe the softer part of the schedule and getting back in this thing, or do you think that's it for the Nationals?
There's about 40 games to go, so I think that there's still plenty of time for the Nationals to make it closer. I mean, I think they have 6 or 7 games left against the Mets head on. You know, they finished the season at Citi Field against the Mets. So basically what they want to do is just at least make it relevant to come down to the end of the season within 2 or 3 games so that they have a shot at it. You know, they just have too much talent, but there's systemic problems with that team, really, which come really from the top down. You know, 3 things that bother me with them is, you know, A, the way they treated Jim Riggleman a couple of years ago, even just basically refusing to even, Mike Rizzo refused to meet with him and discuss picking up his option for the following season. Riggleman just up and quit. They had Tony Gwynn Jr. in the minor leagues this year. The kid was batting 400. From July on, they never brought him up from the minors. They were bringing up people. Michael Taylor, they have him up in the major leagues. He wins a few games but does nothing but strike out. Quinn batted 375 in training camp. At the end of the training camp, they went out and got Reed Johnson and Dan Dinkin from the Mets in a trade. Johnson's out for the season, and that happened almost immediately. Dan Dinkin has gone up and down. He's batted 220. And then Gwynn broke his arm throwing the ball in from the outfield. I think that was a money thing. They didn't want to put him on the roster. They didn't want to pay him the $800,000 that they promised him. So they paid him $18,000 to play in the minors. That's wrong. And then the final straw to me was what they did with Trevor Story. I mean, this is a kid that's well-liked, worked his butt off to become a great closer, had, I think, closed 28 out of 29 games when they decided that they needed Jonathan Papelbon to close and slide him back into the eighth spot. And nothing has been the same, really, since that deal was made. You know, that's the kind of thing that really disrupts a veteran locker room, because he's a well-liked kid. They know how hard he worked. And to get a guy like Papelbon who's so disliked and unseat him, I think it really just told the rest of the team that they could do anything to anybody. It's just not a good situation there.
All right, very good. Boy, Barry Bloom, you nailed that one pretty well about the Nationals. I'm looking at Manager of the Year, and of course, there's a, really, with 40 games to go, and you know, in the baseball world, it's an eternity. But I sort of looked at it, and I said, all right, who could it be? Maybe Terry Collins of the Mets, Joe Maddon of the Cubs, and Bruce Bochy of the Giants. Those are the guys who kind of have had to overcome the biggest hurdles, not Clint Hurdle, but the biggest hurdles managing in the National League. And how do you feel about that? Do you think I'm accurate on that?
Yeah, although I do, despite the pun, I think you have to throw a hurdle into the mix because, you know, as far as doing a job with disparate parts on a team that has had a lot of injuries, I don't know that there's anybody, any manager in baseball right now that's in touch with every facet of the game analytically and personally as Clint is. I mean, I hung around the Pirates a lot early in the season, and I just love watching the way every team goes about its business. And there's nobody more dialed into the game than Clint is. I mean, at this point, you know, he sits on the bench and he takes notes during the game. And so he comes in when he comes to talk to us, he's got this white sheet of paper to refer to. And if you ask him, you know, some of the stats like you were giving on Garrett Cole, you know, if a kid, and there was one kid who pitched in a game, and I asked him, you know, how many first pitch strikes did he have? And it was like, his answer came like immediately, 15 out of 21, you know, it's not what we want, or 15 out of 24. I mean, and he calls this white piece of paper his Whiteberry. It's hysterical. I don't remember him doing this when he was with the Rockies, and he's evolved into a terrific manager. But saying all that, if, you know, like everything finishes the way it is, Terry Collins is the manager of the year in the National League. I don't see anybody else.
All right. Very good. No, I think it becomes interesting because of what we just talked about, Joe Maddon putting that young team together, Collins with all the craziness there, and, of course, Bochy dealing with injury after injury and still getting his team in a position. Let's see how the season works out. The other part is Madison Bumgarner. And I was trying to think last night, and you've been around almost as long as I have, or maybe longer. But, you know, Bumgarner, the power hitter, and just watching how they work to him, if they lay the ball into him, his swing is so strong. If he squares it up, he really, all of a sudden, he's got three homers in seven games. He's getting better. Who are your favorite hitting pitchers? Do you ever think about that? The pitchers who could hit. And then how does this guy fit into the group?
Well, you know, historically, I think, you know, you look at guys like Bob Gibson. You know, Gibson, I think, had two less homers or something in his career than Ozzie Smith. I mean, this is a guy who took a lot of pride in it. And it's funny, you know, because this segues into a discussion that, you know, I'd like to have about where the Dodgers are right now. But last Sunday, you know, Greinke hit a homer to win a game in L.A. against the Reds. It was the second of back-to-back home runs. Not only did he pitch seven shutout innings, but he hit the home run. And that's it. That was his second, I think, game-winning homer of the year. On the same day, you know, Madison hits a homer up in San Francisco and completes a complete game shutout. And, you know, then you compare these two pitchers and what the Dodgers have and what the Giants have, and I just think hitting-wise, pitching-wise, what he's done in the postseason, you and I have talked about this a lot when we had the whole discussion at the All-Star game. Who should start the All-Star game? And my contention, and I wrote it, was Bumgarner. It was not only what he meant this season, but what he's meant. He's the most dominant pitcher in the National League over the last 5 years. And so, you know, you look at the Dodgers and you have arguably the best 1-2 punch there since, Koufax and Drysdale, and nothing beyond. And, these guys have done nothing in the postseason yet, where Bumgarner's 4-0 in the World Series, having allowed just one earned run. I mean, to me, as the entire package, Bumgarner is the best pitcher top to bottom, and he's an old-timer when it comes to the ability to hit two, read back to Gibson. And so, I love the guy. And if I had anybody to start a pitching staff with in baseball right now, my choice would be Madison Bumgarner.
Wow, very good. Barry Bloom, MLB.com. Very good. Very quickly, as we wrap up our segment, Dodgers get no hit last night, and anytime you get giant Dodgers, it's what you hope for every summer. And I always say you never lose sight of either team. And last year is the same way. This year the same way. Dodgers are a game and a half up. Giants are chasing them down, 40 to go. How do you see it?
I see the Giants winning it. I've said this all year. The Dodgers are a very, very flawed team at this point. Their 3-5 spot in the rotation is just awful. They've now taken Latos out for the short term to get more starts out of Greinke and Kershaw. And the more you do that, the more they're going to wear down if they win the division and get to the postseason. To me, they've got to get through first the Giants, then they have to get through the Cardinals when they get to the postseason. And they haven't been real accomplished about doing either of those things. So I'm a firm believer until the defending champion is knocked off by somebody, they're the team to beat. The Giants have won 3 out of the last 5 World Series. They're right in position to win another division title. They have 7 games to go against the Dodgers in September. I take Bochy, to your point about how good Bochy is. I love Bochy. I'd take him over Don Mattingly any day of the week as a manager to manage his team. I think the Dodgers, I would not be shocked if the Dodgers floundered, that Donnie Mattingly wouldn't be fired before the end of the season.
Wow.
That's the climate of the situation. It's a bad clubhouse. It's a bad mix. And all upper management seems to want to do is throw more money at it. As the Utley thing, to me, I've been asked, why did they get Utley? And my response is, unless he could pitch in the rotation or in relief, there was no reason to get Utley. Why do you put him into the mix at this point? You might as well get Ryan Howard, too, and have 3/4 of an infield for the Phillies that did nothing since 2010. This is the stupidity right now of the Dodgers. The Giants are just so far ahead. The only thing that's going to hamstring the Giants is their continued injuries. I mean, look, their whole outfield's out. It was a great pickup to get Marlon Byrd to fill in because I think, obviously, Byrd's already done something, and he has something left. That's the thing Semien does. He gets people that they actually need as opposed to what goes on in L.A. So, all things equal, the Giants are going to win that division.
Wow. All right, Barry, great to have you on, as always. You're off for a nice 2-week vacation. I wish you well. And when you come back, we'll catch up on this thing and see where we are. But always information, always informative, and always a lot of good opinions. Barry, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on, as always, Marty.
All right, that's Barry Bloom, senior writer for MLB.com. Very, very, a lot of opinions today. All right.